chapter 5. And Grandpa, would you fill up to praying for us this morning?
Lord, we want to praise you today. Thank you for all the rich blessings you've given us. Bless the preaching of the word and may each heart be touched. Thank you. I pray all of your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, I'm just going to start reading. I'm going to read up to verse 17, but I want to read this passage so that we get the context. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." This is a powerful passage, I believe. Paul is talking to the Ephesians. These are Ephesians who are Gentile believers. They're Gentile believers who have gotten saved and they're living their life. They're living their life, but somehow, I guess they're confused. They're not really sure. They haven't, you know, fully changed their whole life. They're just living life. And apparently, there's been vain talkers, like he says, that have been deceiving them into letting them think that life is okay, how you're living it, don't worry too much how you're living. It's okay. God's grace covers all things, right? So don't worry too much on how you live. And Paul is trying to tell them, guys, the way you live is important.
Amen.
That's what Paul's telling them. He starts out with, be ye followers of God as dear children. And Paul, I think, throughout the book of Ephesians is trying to get them to understand what they have in Christ and how they don't have to live like they used to live. They can live in a different way. They can live in the Spirit and they can be full of all the power and might of God. The same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus up from the dead, they had it inside of them.
Amen.
They could be different. They could change. They didn't have to live that same way anymore. And so, he gives them here what I call a wake-up call. I mean, I call it that, but it's right there. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call, and I think this is a wake-up call we all need. In verse 6, he says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And there are a lot of people in Paul's day that were saying that. They were saying, look, God's grace is going to abound more and more. And so don't worry about the sin that you're in. Don't worry too much about it. Listen, if you live in sin, God's grace is going to abound. No, that's not what Paul wanted to get across. Yes, the grace of God covers all of your sin. But that is no reason for you to live in sin.
Amen.
And Paul emphasizes that. And he says, for because of these things, that sin which you're partaking of, those things are the reason the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. So no, it's not an okay thing for us to live in sin. That is not a lifestyle that is becoming of a Christian.
Amen.
Paul makes that very clear. And I think it's obvious, right? There's a lifestyle that deserves a wake-up call. There are lifestyles that we just all have to say, hey, you gotta wake up. You can't live like that.
Right.
And you know, some of us might need this wake-up call.
Amen.
Because we're not supposed to live like the Gentiles, as he would say. We're not supposed to live like the world. We're not supposed to live like unbelievers. Our life is supposed to be different. We're supposed to be followers of God. And that's why in verse 7 he says, be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't be like unbelievers. Now, Paul is urging believers to stop living a spiritual sleep. That's why he says, wake up. Don't stay sleeping. You're spiritually asleep. You're spiritually lazy, maybe. You don't have awareness, or the urgency is gone. There's no purpose to why you're living. You're just living. And he says, you need to wake up. He says, awake thou that sleepest. This speaks to believers who are spiritually maybe inactive. They're distracted, or they're just unaware of what's going on. They're just living life. And I think it's easy for Christians to get to that point where we're just living life.
Yes, ma'am.
But Christians, you have a higher calling than to just live life.
Yes.
And so Paul is trying to get to that. He tells us, awake thou that sleepest. Right? Awake. You need to wake up. I think it's amazing that he tells us, arise from the dead. Arise from the dead. Listen, he's trying to get these Christians, y'all are alive in Christ. Why are y'all living in dead works? Why are you living to things that are just full of death? You're supposed to be alive, so wake up. Wake up. Listen to his wake up call. Christ shall give thee light. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I wanna let you know that if your purpose in life looks the same as an unbeliever's, then you're living life wrong. If your purpose in life looks exactly the same as an unbeliever, then we're living life wrong, because we shouldn't have the same purpose. I think it gets far too easy for us to blend in. Many Christians, we have the same dreams, the same goals, we have the same rhythm as unbelievers do. And it's not all, you could say, it's not all of sin. Sometimes they could be things that aren't even really that bad. You say, oh, we're trying to climb the career ladder, right? We're trying to chase comfort and security. We're trying to provide and build a name for ourselves and maybe our children, our family, accumulate some wealth. We're trying to one day, we can retire and live happy, right? How is that? Does that actually work? Do you retire and then you live your happy life after retirement? I don't know. But that's the goal, it seems like, right? Everybody, that's the goal we're all pushing for. And from the outside, that doesn't look entirely bad. I mean, what's wrong with that? It's not like these are wicked things that we're wanting. But if that's the extent of our goals in life, that's the extent of our purpose, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. A Christian has more to life than that.
Amen.
And I think it's easy for us to get caught up in just living life. Living life, even if it's a good life, living the good life, that's not what Christian's life is about. There's a biblical call for us to be different. There's a biblical call for us to be different. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on those things that are above, not on things on the earth. Your purpose isn't about what you can get out of life. Your purpose is, who can you glorify?
Yeah.
You realize that? That's a big difference. It's not about how much you can do and what you can do and how big of a name you can create for yourself. That's not the purpose of a Christian. The purpose of a Christian is to glorify God with his life.
Amen.
Glorify God with your body. Glorify God with your spirit, like he says in 1 Corinthians. That's your call as a Christian. Let's not get sidetracked. Let's not forget the importance of this. Paul is trying to remind us, and he's waking us up, and that's why he says, "Awake, thou that sleepest." We're so caught up in just living life, we've fell asleep. What is our purpose in Christ? You know, an unbeliever lives for self, but a Christian is supposed to live for Christ. And that's just the difference in the purpose. So this message that Paul gives, I think, is for each one of us to self-reflect on. Self-reflect on, because it could be that the way that you're living has a purpose for yourself, or has a purpose to glorify God. And you have to figure that out. You have to make sure that the reason you're living is to glorify God and not yourself. This is important. The world defines success by results, but believers define it by their faithfulness to God's will. And I think from the beginning of this passage to the end, where I wrote there, where I ended off there, is he's trying to tell us what the Christian's goal in life is. And that's to do the will of God. The will of God. That is your purpose in life.
Amen.
True.
Now, we need to understand that even if that costs you your life, that's your goal.
Amen.
That should be your purpose. Even if doing the will of God costs you everything, and it doesn't go well for you, that's your purpose in life. Very, very, when we consider it, it's hard to cope with sometimes. But that's the truth about Christianity. Christianity is to live for the will of God. Think about what Matthew says, or what Jesus says in Matthew 6, whenever he talks about us being different. He says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." The Gentiles are seeking after all these things. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." It's interesting. He says, yes, everybody's seeking that. Everybody's seeking food, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, raiment, what they're going to, you know, what house they're going to live in. Everybody's seeking this. But he says, you need to be different. You need to seek the kingdom of God first. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he tells us, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Everything you do, do all to the glory of God. There's a difference of purpose in the life of a believer than in the life of an unbeliever. And the difference is the purpose is to do the will of God, not will of self. And so I think we should all ask ourselves, would our schedule look the same if we weren't saved? Would you be doing the same things if you weren't saved? Would you be spending the same habits that you have? Would your goals for your kids be the same? Would you still be pursuing the same things if Jesus hadn't saved you? And I think if you look at that and nothing changes in your life, and the only thing that changes is that you come to church on Sunday, there's something wrong.
Amen.
And Paul gives us a clear wake-up call. He says, wake up. You're sleeping. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You haven't fully captured, you haven't fully understood your purpose in life. It's not to just keep living your life. And it's not to just keep living in sin. And it's just not to keep living for yourself. You've got a goal. And that goal is to do the will of God. So try, strive, find out what the will of God is in your life and do that. That's his message. Look at his message. It's great. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. So, he says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's his goal, right? He's telling us you can walk as children of light. You don't have to walk in the same way that you used to walk. You don't have to live for the same things you used to live. You walk differently now because you're in Christ. He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." I think that's interesting, that the fruit of the Spirit, that as you walk in the Spirit, as you walk with the Lord, you will be more keen to knowing His will, to understanding His will. It's like a little compass that with the more you walk in the Spirit, you will be more sensitive to what the will of God is. Is that what he's saying there? He's saying, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." These things will help you know what God accepts and what God doesn't accept. In verse 14, where he gives us the wake-up call, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I think that's neat. He says, awake, right? Rise up. And whenever you do this, Christ will give you light. Christ will make known His will to you. Christ will clear things up for you. The more you walk in light, the more you walk with Him, the more Christ is going to guide you.
Amen.
The more sensitive you'll be to God's will, the more you walk in light. And the more you do His will. And that's why he says, "Now then, you need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In other words, what he's saying is, if you know what to do, you need to do it. If you know what the will of God is, you need to follow it. And in following it, God will give you more light, and you'll be able to follow it even more. But it's stepping stones. You need to do what you know God wants you to do so that God can clear more things up for you. Sometimes we're really, really hard on young, immature Christians because they're not doing the will of God. And, you know, maybe we just need a little more patience because they can't see clearly sometimes what the will of God is. Now, the way to get out of that is to start with what you know the will of God is. I don't know if that makes sense. Okay, so immature Christians don't need to be condemned. They need to be fed and they need to have patience. They need to be discipled. Immature Christians, because Paul talks about that, he says, y'all are still carnal. I want to speak to y'all as spiritual. Why are Christians not growing? Well, it's because they're not taking those first steps that they need to in order to grow in Christ. Let me say, if you're a Christian and you're still very young, you need to start doing what you know the will of God is clearly in your life. And a lot of times we're worried about, you know, you're not doing all these other things. Let's start with the basics, right? He says the will of God is that you flee fornication. That's very clear. Why don't you start with that?
Yes.
God wills that you come together and congregate and meet in His name so that you can exhort one another. Why don't we start with that? But if we're not doing those stepping stones, you're not going to get more clear will of God. Why would God clear up more things for you if you're not taking the steps to the things that He has cleared up for you? And so with them, they've been living their Christian life and they've just been living in it. And Paul says, hey, it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to live as followers of God. And he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Like I said, redeeming the time, I think, means making intentional choices. I think it's about living in God's will today. That's what redeeming the time is. Redeeming the time, look, the past, you can't do anything about the past. And why would you worry about the future? It's not even here. But today, if you know what the will of God is, you need to do it.
Amen.
You need to start doing what you know God wants from you. Don't wait to do what you know needs to be done. This would be redeeming the time. And think about it. There's a lot of reasons for us to redeem the time. There's a lot of reasons for us to, and what would you call redeeming the time? It would be where we are trying to buy up, right, or rescue the loss. We're trying to make the most of redeeming the time. Why would we need to redeem the time? Well, maybe because time has been wasted.
Right.
Have you not wasted time in the past and you think, man, you know what? I gotta make up some time. I've gotta redeem the time because I've wasted a lot of time in the past.
Right.
And the time that you've wasted, those wasted opportunities, you don't get back.
That's right.
I know, I was looking through my wallet the other day and going through, you know, you have a bunch of cards in there, and I pulled out a Sonic, $10 Sonic gift card. Oh man, we can go get something to eat, you know, only I can eat because that's not enough for the whole family. But a $10 gift card, we turn it around and it expires May 2024. Well, if you don't use it, there's no getting it back, right? That was time that you didn't take advantage of and there's no going back. And that's a lot of decisions that we've made. You do things or you don't do things that you could have done before and there's no getting it back. And what that should teach you for today is that you shouldn't waste time.
Amen.
Is that if you know to do something, you should jump on it. Because you can't get time back. So you should redeem the time. Paul could have said, you need to redeem the time because time's running out. You know how when time's running out, it's like, hey, we don't have a lot more opportunity. We gotta really jump on it. It's amazing how much better the games are at the end, right? Than during the whole thing. It's like games just get better because time's running out. We gotta go all out.
Right.
And that's kind of like it is with us. We can say, the Lord is at hand, right? I think Romans 13:11 says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Listen, it's getting close. Don't you think that means we should redeem the time? Don't you think that means we should get more excited? We should expend more energy? We should do as much as we can because we know time is running out. But Paul didn't say that. Paul said we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Because times are bad. There's a quote and says that the only thing evil needs to do in order to triumph is for good men to do nothing. If good men do nothing, evil will triumph. I think the days are evil is going to make us, is going to require of us to do overshifts, right? Work double times. We're going to have to work more because the days are evil. That means we are required of more because the days are evil. And that's what Paul says. He says, you need to redeem the time because the days are evil. It's not enough for you to just wander about your life with no sense, with no direction, with no purpose, with the same goals everybody in the world has. Buying a house and retiring early so that you can live life. That is not enough. Christian, wake up. There's a greater goal. And you have to look at it. You have to live circumspectly. You have to be wise. You have to lock on to this goal and make choices about your life that depend on what your goal is, which is to do the will of God. And that's what he says throughout this whole thing. He's trying to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. He ends in 17 saying, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is the goal of the Christian, to know what the will of the Lord is and to live like that, to have that as your goal, which means we should be making intentional choices. Christians, we might, instead of spending 15 minutes scrolling, we should be spending 15 minutes praying for somebody. Amen. You ever think about that? You get done scrolling, and then you think, wow, where did that time go? What good came out of that? Even worse, probably bad things came because you started looking at everybody else's life and you either became greedy and wished that you had their life, or you started seeing something bad and you're going to go gossip about it. Change those things. Those things that are useless in your life, change them, because it's time to redeem the time that we have left. Amen. And you don't have to be legalistic about all this. Just be intentional. Recognize there's things in your life that's just a waste. There's things in your life that are not good. And there's things in your life that are sin, that according to what he says here, they should be reproved. That's what he says. He says that they should be reproved. And so I think that reproof needs to come from yourself. Why are you going to wait around for somebody else to come reprove you? Why don't you look at yourself and say, man, you should stop doing that. You're a children of light. Why would you be living in darkness? It's time to wake up. And we tell ourselves that. We need to start maybe doing the most important things first, not leaving the most important things to the end. You've seen that challenge they have where the teacher puts a jar and a jar of big rocks, a jar of small rocks, and a jar of medium rocks, and you have to fill it up, right? Well, if you start off with the small rocks, the big rocks aren't going to fit. But if you start off with the big rocks, you can make everything fit. The point of that is, listen, there are some very important things in your life that you should be following as a Christian, and if you're just waiting to put those off until the end, they're not going to fit. You're filling your jar up with all these nonsense things, that the things that are important in life don't get done. And so, let's start off with the important things. Let's put those as the priority and get our priorities straight. Because Christians, it's time to wake up. This is the wake-up call he is talking about. You ever think that you could actually use idle moments wisely? Like you get stopped at you're stopped at a red light. You don't have to just be mad about it. You could maybe pray for somebody. Amen. You're on a walk. Maybe you can call a brother that needs some encouragement. Right? You're folding clothes, doing laundry. Maybe you can be listening to something that is beneficial. There's all kinds of ways in our life that we could improve finding the will of God and doing the will of God. But a lot of times, we seek comfort. And the Christian's life is about Christ, not about comfort. And we need to remind ourselves of this. I think Paul saw this, and he's like, he's seeing a danger in this church, and he says, guys, you need to wake up. And I think we could say the same thing about ourselves. And I think we need to. I think we need to look at ourselves and listen to this wake-up call from Paul and say, have I been sleeping? Have I just been coasting through life? Have I just been living and not being intentional in what I'm going to do and knowing what the will of God is? Do I care about what the will of God is? I mean, shouldn't that be the distinguishing trait of a Christian versus an unbeliever? What does God want of me? And interesting, anything you do, you can ask that question. Is this pleasing to God?
Yeah.
And that should be important to us. That should be very important to us. Is this pleasing to God? Because that's the whole point of your life, is to be pleasing to God.
Amen.
He says in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You can fill yourself up with all kinds of things and be void of the Spirit. Oh yeah, the Spirit's got its seal on you till the day of Jesus Christ, but you might be void of the Spirit. It's just not filling your life, because your life is filled up with all kinds of other things. But you can get rid of those other things and you can fill your life up with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Listen, guess what? You can fill your life up with the Spirit of God if you dedicate yourself to these things instead of a lot of those worthless things that you're dedicating your life to, that bring depression upon your life and anxiety, and you fill yourself up with all these other things that messed your life up, and then you're wondering, why am I in this rut?
Right.
Well, why don't you get together with other people that can sing with you and praise God and sing aloud together for Him? Why don't you get together with other people that are actually content and can thank God through all these things?
Amen.
How about submitting yourself one to another, like we heard this morning? There's a whole lot of things that can change your life if your life is right now in a coma, in a Christian coma, where you're just coasting along. You're just living life, but you don't really live it with the purpose of fulfilling the will of God. And Paul wants that to change. And Paul was an example of that. He says, "Be followers of me, even as I follow Christ." He was an example of that. We saw his life. He says, "I run because I want to win." He ran, and he ran the Christian race until he finished it. And you know, he's telling us, hey, you need to wake up. Because you don't want to be a Christian that's just coasting along. This is why the wrath of God comes upon the unbelievers. Why would we give ourselves and live in the same way as them? But his wake-up call comes with a lot of excitement, because it's possible. And that's why in verse 14, that's just the best verse right here to just ponder on, is, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." This is something possible. You're sleeping, and guess what? You can wake up.
Amen.
And you can arise from the dead. You can get out of those dead works, and you can be given light by Jesus Christ. And that's the exciting part, is that we actually do have the Spirit of God in us, and we can be filled with the Spirit of God, and we can live our life with a higher purpose than anybody in the world knows. We can live our life with the purpose to fulfill the will of God. And that may look different for different people. I don't think the will of God is, you know, exactly the same for everybody. It doesn't mean that every single one of us needs to sell everything that we have and move to a far off country and preach the gospel. I don't think that's the will of God for every single one of us, but maybe for some of us it is. But you have to be able to discern what is the will of God for you. And if you're not living in the spirit of goodness and righteousness and truth, how do you expect to know, to be able to prove what the will of God is for you? But we can. You can know the will of God, and you can live in the will of God. And this is the greatest purpose that a Christian has. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's great. I think that's something we should strive for. You can know the will of God, and you can live for the will of God. But It's going to take you, for the starting, to do what's clear. There's something very clear that God has a will for you to do and you're not doing it. Well, today's the day to start. Redeem the time. If you know what God wants from you, stop saying no. Stop putting it off till tomorrow. I can do it later. Later might never come. Redeem the time and do it now. And if you live your life this way, you can live for Christ according to His will. And that's what the Christian life is about. Living for the will of God. And if you don't know God, and if you haven't given your life to God, if you're still walking in darkness, listen, there's nothing you can do to save your life. A lot of people are trying to save their life. They want to live life to the fullest for themselves. But if you live that way, you're going to lose your life. Christ tells us that much. He says, but if you're willing to give your life for me, you'll save it. You can save your life by giving your life to Him. And then you'll have a life really full of purpose. And no matter what happens, if you're following the will of God and your life is lost, here, you will have reward in heaven, which is what we expect from Christ. And that's why Paul gives us this wake-up call. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's the wake-up call. You are a child of light. Stop walking in darkness. Walk in light, because that's what you are, a child of light. Let's go ahead and pray to finish today's morning meeting. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank You for Your love. We want to thank You, Lord, because You did not live only for Yourself. Lord, You died and You gave Your life to be able to save us. You cared for us, and Lord, You are the greatest example that we have of love. Lord, now we want to turn our hearts to You. We want You to turn us again to Yourself. Lord Jesus, forgive us for not walking as we should, for not walking in the light as You have transformed us into and translated us into Your kingdom of light. Lord, we ask that You'd help us. Help us follow You and follow Your example. We want to love others and follow after charity. Lord, we want to care for others rather than caring for ourselves. We want to seek Your will rather than our will. And Lord, I ask that You would open our hearts and our minds to know what Your will for our life is, that we would be able to follow it, Lord. Right now, we're having a conference coming up, and we're going to have Dave Spurgeon. He's going to preach to us. He's going to preach out of Your word. Lord Jesus, we want to hear from You. We ask that You would give him all the right messages, and we ask that we would have a receptive heart, that we would be able to know Your will, and Lord, that we would live redeeming the time, that we would do Your will instead of procrastinating, instead of leaving it off as for some other day. Lord, we want to follow You today. Bless us, Lord. Help us during our day, and as we come back together tonight to worship You, we ask that You would accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.